Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, my friends. It's that time again, so welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod as we hover above the Ukraine today, which is giving the finger to the illegal Zionist government in Kiev and the Zionist-hijacked United States of America. On and on goes this ring around the rosy, musical chairs played with chainsaws, and besides being intimidating and alarming, it's boring. I can't get it up to talk about this sort of thing much anymore. Of course, it gets referred to in the course of things. I suppose it's a part of the color commentary. It's the place where everything in the manifest is happening. Only different things are happening in different places, just as different states of being are happening in different people. There are a lot of ways to look at this world. You can look at it as an abattoir. You can look at it as a carnival or circus, some variant on the amusement park theme. You can look at it as a veil of tears just around the corner from the valley of the shadow of death. You can look at it as a cornucopia of opportunities, and whether it is indeed a cornucopia, I suspect, will depend on what opportunities you search out. It's one of the ironies of life that many things which promise freedom lead to serious bondage. It's the old story of thorns on rose bushes. I suppose there's some relationship to the capacity to love and a broken heart. One's heart must be irreparably broken for the divine to take up residence there. Full-time residents. One's disillusionment and disappointment in the world must be total. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself and will just be cranking it up in one direction or another, putting a new face on an old passion, but there's only one passion worth having. Most of us come here to pursue the things we didn't get last time or the time before. We come to make war or money. We come to have sex. Some of us come to learn to act upon a fascination that came into being with us. From some former time. Some of us came to exercise one talent or another or several that we were gifted with for the express purpose of seeing what we would do with it. A lot of what goes on here has to do with seeing what we will do with or about it. Sometimes we're set up for various failures simply to learn what is taught in that regard. Most often we are here to answer for things, but this often expresses itself in situations that outwork whatever the necessity is. My suspicions tell me that the cosmos is a let-the-punishment-fit-the-crime kind of a guy. I see the ineffable as ingenious and creative without equal and possessing of a wicked sense of humor. Although that might be an inappropriate term, because there's nothing wicked about the divine. That would be a contradiction in terms, wouldn't it? Our real purpose here, as I have come to see it, is to let the divine express freely through us. In order to be able to do this, we have to be in sync with the divine. See things as the divine sees them and hear them as the divine hears them. After all, when the divine wants to do something, the divine very often employs human agency. Someone wants to serve the supernal end of things, there is no lack of things needing to be done. Of course, initially our employment may not be the most glamorous of the options. This is by design. I started out in the restaurant business washing dishes. Then I was a prep cook and I moved up from there. I owned my own place at one point, or jointly owned another place, and, well, so it's best to learn operation from the ground up. Starting in the mail room, so to speak. This is also to see where you're at. Though we may not admit it to ourselves, a lot of us have a glorified opinion of our abilities. This is one of the reasons that the greatest of servants of the masters and master are consistently humble. God loves humility because it means one has a sense of the true proportion of things. Humility is one of the most misunderstood of the virtues, and no truly humble person is a doormat, especially since they are to some degree aware of who it is that lives in them. The divine comes in by degrees and does not reside in everyone in equal proportion. Some of us enjoy a greater depth, and there are reasons for that. Some of them I won't go into because they can become complicated in the explaining and wind up concealing as much as they reveal. And I don't like to be confusing, which I have a feeling I would wind up being. On the one hand, I can think of no better way to explain relative depths of this nature than in what Gibran said. He said, "Do not be overly upset with the sword that cuts into your heart, because it only cuts deeper into the cup that holds your joy." I may not have gotten the words exactly right, but it's close enough for rock and roll. So it is that some of us are put to greater extremities of suffering than others. One of the reasons for this is that more is to be expected of those who have been tried to a more serious degree, and they're also able to bear it as well. It's been said in many ways, and people have discovered the truth of it in many ways, that the divine moves in mysterious ways. It can often seem unfair, what happens to and for us and what doesn't happen to and for us. For some of us, the way along certain avenues of expression is blocked on every side. I myself have experienced this when it has to do with musical and other artistic aspirations. The blockages were profound, in fact, and no matter what tact I took or direction I took, it was to no avail. I could say that my entire life has been crippled by my pursuit of the divine. Things that naturally go well for many, especially those of us who are industrious to the task, which I most certainly was, experienced at the very least partial success. As I remember, my every effort was shot down. Sometimes venues were closed down so I could not play. Or a club owner turned off the sound because a customer that he wasn't even familiar with objected to the subject matter of my work. I got many, many tales about this sort of thing. Most recently, over recent years, I have was given to believe that my fortunes would improve, and they did not, and left me in a most unfortunate position in my immediate environment. I hardly know how to explain these things to myself. Still, I'm not in any position to turn on the master, though I've let him hear about it on occasion. What I've been told is that the divine doesn't see my situation the way I see it. And the divine knows all the ends of things and told me, "Visible, I can't take this as seriously as you do because I know how it ends. And if you knew what I know, you would never care in the world. There's nothing down here that can compare to the least of what is available in other places. And I control all access and egress to them. I am the regent of every heaven and I possess the keys to hell. I have every wisdom and I know all there is to know about anything that can be known. And I am at liberty to confer upon anyone I please, anything I please to confer at any time I want to confer it. I am the one who gives, and I am the one who takes away." People have heard many of my miracles, but there are many that are less commonly known. I can place a person back in the springtime of their life like that. I can alter their form. I can alter time, and in fact, alter any condition that is or has been. Just that I don't choose to most of the time, or I don't choose to where people can see it, that means nothing. If I am beating the crap out of someone and hamstringing their existence, they must be very important to me. That is, if they are not simply being punished for crimes previous, such is not the case here, so bear with me. The corner will turn unexpectedly, and everything will be far different from what it is and what it was. I have reasons, very, very good reasons for everything that I do. Everyone who comes into your life, I set them there for one reason or another. Everywhere I put you for one reason or another. The same is true of people listening to this very broadcast, and some of them might be aware of it. In general, in this world, most are not, or they have confused me with religion, and I am closer to some atheists than I am to the majority of religious types. People are confounded by those I choose to do my work. Sometimes they have all the appearances of simpletons and fools, or they may have at one time been outlaws or those suffering from serious defects of character until I made the necessary adjustments and changes in them. I pick the people I do exactly because people expect something different from me, and I prefer to do the unexpected. I prefer to be impossible to predict, and so I am. I know the heart of every person, so I cannot be fooled. I know what I'm doing, even though it appears I am an absentee landlord or indifferent to conditions down here. The truth is quite a bit otherwise than that. I love listening to the divine, or more specifically to whatever agency the divine employs to speak to me. I've been told it is exactly as if I were communicating directly with the divine, but there's certain filters are necessary for anyone still at particular stages of the human form. I have to remind myself that my knowledge of things, as they compare to the divine, is wider than the gap between myself and a gnat. One of the unfortunate things many people get up to is anthropomorphism. Practicing this, they invent a god that is just a bigger version of themselves, a god that shares their prejudices and peculiarities. It makes for some truly unfortunate examples, like the clergyman, bishop, cardinal, whatever he was, that said, "Kill them all and let God sort them out. God will know his own." It was something to that effect. There have been some real beasts upon this planet, and many of us despair at understanding how it were even possible that they were allowed to behave as long as they did and do what they did. And history is littered with these inhuman creatures like King Leopold, Pol Pot, Mao, the oligarchs, George Bush. I could sit here for the rest of the evening adding names to the list. So many things make no sense to us in our narrow perspectives. Our perspectives need to be widened, and that is what all these tests and challenges and suffering are all about. We are not inclined to believe this at different stages of our existence, and so it continues. I've mentioned the three virtues of faith, certitude, and determination many times. This is because they were introduced to me by a very great holy man, one of the greatest I ever had the privilege of meeting, and that is Guru Bala. I don't remember the five pillars of wisdom, but I think these virtues have some connection to one of them or more. Guru Bala is a Sufi, and that comes out of the Muslim tradition, and it's the only version of it that I have any interest in. When someone like Guru Bala hammers on about something over and over again, it's got to be very important. As it turns out, over time, I've been given insights into just how powerful and important these three things are. It is my belief that if a person has only these three, it will be sufficient to the discovery and acquisition of every other necessary thing. For most of my life, I felt like a pinball bouncing from one bumper to the next. I found myself in situations that made no sense to me. And as hard as I tried at all of the things I tried, I failed more often than not. The amount of bad luck and sabotage that I encountered is nearly the stuff of legend. It made no sense, and I did not have the frequency of communication that I have these days. It was there, but it was infrequent, or I had access only through the use of psychedelics. I couldn't be more grateful that that end of things has taken a turn for the better. At least I have this communication, and the bedeviling continuance of adverse circumstances that continues still is much easier to bear. Today I was thinking about the lives of so many others around the world, about how very grim some of their conditions are. I've got a lot to be grateful for, and this is a part of that proportion of seeing that makes us so that we can see with God's eyes and hear with God's ears. Gratitude is another of the virtues, like humility, that is not well understood. There's a surface definition, and then there are the deeper definitions. But most importantly, there are all those conditions that gratitude connects to and connects one to. One, two, three. You simply cannot feel too much gratitude. And it is my belief that with a sufficient amount of gratitude, understanding will descend upon you, followed by wisdom. How should one wish to be crowned at the summation point of their life? With an actual crown? With international prestige or great wealth and the satisfaction of greater worldly accomplishments than the majority of one's fellows? He who dies in those toys wins, sort of like a... Surely to be crowned with wisdom and understanding far, far exceeds any and all of these. In the world of these times, wisdom and understanding are not much valued, and often enough they are attributed to those who possess neither. We live in an age of epidemic hypocrisy and cleverly crafted false fronts. None of this matters, though. It doesn't matter what the world does or what the world celebrates, exalts, or puts value on. What matters is what we exalt and put value on. Only that matters. It may be that for a good while we do not see the profit in those esoteric things we have chosen over the things of the world. We may possess things, but they have yet to be activated in us. This I have been told, that some of us possess the very thing, but it has yet to be activated. Maybe it grows under cover of night in the darkness of our ignorance. It grows just as a seed will remain below the earth until it breaks the surface and grows toward the light. Even then, it may be some time before it blooms, if ever it does. It might not even be that kind of a plant, but for the purpose of this discussion, it most certainly is. Anyway, okay then, the time has slipped away and one more radio broadcast is now in the can, metaphorically speaking, or so to speak. This means I get to say that I will see you again next week, or a Wiederhören, in reverse, if there is one, and offer my sincere prayer that both wisdom and understanding will come to you, and all thought of glass darkly shall be passed and forgotten. That said, Om Amitabha, greetings, Lord Ganesha, much love, Lady Nature and Dear Tara, Inshallah, hail, Lord Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Hare!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.